Our correspondent James Glenday is in El Paso, Texas, at the scene of the weekend's first massacre.
A huge number of media outlets from across the world have descended on this Walmart in El Paso, Texas. Police are still on the scene. There's still a pretty significant cordon taking place. And every now and then we've seen officers sort of wander in and out. It looks like they've been taking some things out of the Walmart. And there's also a little shrine of flowers that has been steadily growing, we're told, over the past couple of hours.
What is known about the gunman's motives?
Well, police have been speaking to the 21-year-old gunman since his arrest yesterday, and they say he is not holding anything back. Investigators have in particular been scouring an online manifesto that was published just about 19 minutes before the shooting, and which is suspected, though it's not been confirmed, to have been written by him. I'm not going to go into the details of it specifically, but it broadly claimed there was a Hispanic invasion of Texas taking place and that white people were being marginalized and pushed out. Now, we know the gunman had driven more than 1,000 kilometers from his home near Dallas, Texas, so 9 or so hours to carry out this atrocity. And locals here suspect he picked El Paso because it has this strongly Hispanic flavor. A lot of people here are bilingual. Soccer and tacos are bigger here than NFL and burgers. And a lot of Mexicans travel across the border to do their shopping, particularly at this Walmart behind me, which is now the scene of such horror. And indeed, we know Mexicans are among the dead and injured.
Following the shooting, James, questions have been asked about how effectively security agencies and police are tackling domestic terrorism and white nationalism. What are authorities saying?
Authorities have addressed this a little bit in some of the updates they've been giving. They've said that the gunman had only a few low-level encounters with police over the years, nothing to immediately indicate he could be a serious risk. The FBI has come out and said that it does take the threat of domestic terrorism very seriously. And in addition to treating this case as terrorism at this stage, federal authorities are also considering laying those hate crime charges too. Interestingly, we heard from Rod Rosenstein, Donald Trump's former Attorney General. He wrote on Twitter that white terrorism, not domestic terrorism, is perhaps a more precise definition of what occurred here. And he revealed that authorities are very, very well aware that many of the killers are lone wolf losers, that's a direct quote of his, who are indoctrinated to hate through the internet, just like Islamist extremists.
It is a divisive time in the US as the country prepares for another presidential election year. What's been the political reaction to this massacre?
It certainly is. And these twin shootings have brought the early stages of the 2020 campaign to a halt for the moment. As Connor mentioned in his story, it's also reignited a debate about gun control and really put the spotlight on the increasingly angry words which have been directed at immigrants in recent weeks by right-wing pundits and President Donald Trump. Now, a couple of Democratic presidential candidates, including Beto O'Rourke, who is from El Paso, have blamed Donald Trump's rhetoric, saying the commander-in-chief has whipped up fear and racism and helped encourage people to carry out atrocities like this, or at the very least made them more vulnerable to acting the wrong way. Mr. Trump has been defended vigorously by his chief of staff, Mick Mulvaney. He called the twin shootings a serious problem, but denied that the president was to blame in any way and certainly rejected the idea that he hadn't taken seriously the threat of white nationalism. And we also heard very briefly from the president himself when he spoke to reporters just a little earlier.
I just want to say that these are two incredible places. We love the people. Hate has no place in our country. And we're going to take care of it.
It's US President Donald Trump, and before him, our correspondent James Glenday.